The following is a lecture given at the home of Vanmali Krishnadas by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 25th, 2006, in Sydney, Australia.
May I welcome His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu and Her Grace Vishnupriya Mataji. May I also welcome you too. We sincerely hope that you also benefit from association with His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu and Her Grace Vishnupriya Mataji. His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu says, "All my work," as I'm quoting him, "all my work is dedicated with love to you, our dear readers, and to ISKCON founder Acharya His Grace, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Their mission is to say, they say, our purpose is to help everyone reawaken their original spiritual identity, which is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Such a global reawakening will, in one stroke, solve all the problems of the world society." He also runs a program which sends out Talk for the Day. It is broadcast daily to its thousands of subscribers in over 100 countries throughout the world, and is listed at www.backtohome.com/countries. This is the daily inspirational message of the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. If you are not subscribed to this free e-course, you can join right now, really, whenever you go on the computer, you can join. It's again www.backtohome.com. They are out to change the world, the spirit of nihilism, to experience a supremely blissful Krishna consciousness in any place, circumstances, and at all times. So, this is our mission for all of us, really. In other words, we have to help him out in doing that. And whatever we can do in our home programs, in our Prahlad school as we have started, so we should be able to carry out the mission of Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Krishna. Thank you, Sankarshan Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Amen. Omaghyanatimadandasya gunanjana shalakya shakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam shtapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamhanyam yadati svapadantikam. So, we are very happy to be with you here today in this wonderful Sangha. Please try to wake up. Maybe you're very tired, but if you can, try to hear what we are speaking. Focus your mind. It will be a great benefit. In this material world, we are all crying. The little children do it overtly, and we adults do it inside. Actually, we are all crying. We are suffering here, that's a bit. We try to extinguish the suffering by what method? Sense gratification. We try to drown our suffering in sense gratification, whether it's liquor or television, the passion for material advancement. In so many ways, we try to drown out the suffering. But you know what? It doesn't work. Why? Because it's not connecting us with our actual spiritual identity. That's the problem. We try to make some material solution for the problem. But the solution is not material. The solution is spiritual. Why? Because we are spiritual, we are not material. That's why. So this is why we are so much indebted to Srila Prabhupada, because he has given us the actual means of reviving our dormant spiritual identities. Can you imagine how lost we would be were it not for Prabhupada? So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have gotten this knowledge. Now, we must dive deeply into this knowledge, not only in its understanding, but also in its practice. The knowledge itself, that is jnana. But when that knowledge becomes applied, that is called vigyan. You can understand it by studying it theoretically, but you can never realize it until you apply it. Actually, Prabhupada wrote me a letter in this regard. It's kind of a funny story, but, you know, it's a true story. But I was a young brahmachari, and I was on one traveling party, and they kept us very, very busy, running here, running there, going out on the street, preaching, and doing this, and doing that. We were very, very busy, and I was thinking, where's the time to read? I want to read more. I want to increase my jnana. So one day, the whole party was going up to the public library in Manhattan, getting on the subway, and I just kind of snuck off and went on a different subway. And I went to 22nd Avenue. I actually went to Tompkins Square Park, where Prabhupada started the movement, under that tree. You've seen the photograph of the tree? So I thought, I will go to that tree and I will write Prabhupada a letter and ask him for more time to read. Actually, I never personally got the letter back from Prabhupada. Somehow or another, it never got back to me. But the GBCs, they used to get copies of the letters. So the GBC at that time, Rupanuga Maharaj, he had a copy. So he showed me, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I got a copy, a hand copy of the letter. So I actually got the, and that way I ended up getting the answer from Prabhupada. Although I never got the physical letter. I saw the copy and I hand copied down exactly what he had replied to me. And it was very potent what Prabhupada had said. He said there is much time in the day for studying, but he said without practical application, knowledge will become dry and useless. And I've seen that practically in our Austin Center. We had one young man from Sri Lanka. He was so fired up for this knowledge. He bought the Bhagavatam. He was going, you know, first canto, second canto. He became so excited. We said, would you like, why don't you chant also along with this? You know, put it in practice? He said, no, I just want to read it. Well, you know what? He never made it through the Bhagavatam. And I saw how Prabhupada's words came true. That if you don't put into practice what's written in the books, after a while it just loses its taste. It becomes dry after a while. And there's a really nice example in this connection. Just consider you're taking a chemistry course, like, you know, in high chemistry, like high school or college. Aren't there two sections for the course? There's the lecture and the lab. Now, can you become good at chemistry if you only go to one or to the other? No. You'll be deficient. Of course, we have medical doctors here. They went through so many years of laboratory, I'm sure. They know very well how important that lab is, you see. So, to study the knowledge, that is the lecture section of the course, and to put it into practice, that is the laboratory section. So to become an expert bhakta, bhakti yogi, one must have proper understanding and must become expert at practicing. It's a balanced program. Gyan Vigyan. So that means whenever we study these wonderful, wonderful teachings of Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, you see, we should try to think, how can I manifest this? How can I make it a practical reality? You see? Do you know where practical reality begins? This is described. This is called Vedic psychology. Thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. It all begins with, what are you thinking about? We're supposed to be thinking Krishna conscious thoughts, isn't it? Saintly thoughts, right? 24 hours a day. But I ask you this, if there was some new technology and we could, you know, put some wires on your brain and we could then broadcast on the internet every single thought that went through your mind 24 hours a day, would you be embarrassed?
Very embarrassed.
Would you be very embarrassed, have to hide under the couch or something, you know? Oh my God. That lusty thought, that angry thought, that greedy thought. Now everyone is seeing how bad I really am on the inside. Oh, Krishna. You see? So, it actually all begins with what you're thinking about. The practice of Krishna consciousness begins in the mind. Because whatever you're thinking about, that's how you're going to speak, and that is how you're going to act also. So this is why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave very strong instructions about controlling the mind. You know his order? Do you know his order? Yes, that's right. In the morning, it's like we came here, there was, keep the shoes tidy. We saw the sign. He said, in the morning, you take a shoe and beat your mind 100 times. You see? I looked that up in the Veda base to see, what does this really mean, to beat the mind? It means you have to teach the mind who's the boss. You see? And then in the evening, you grab a broomstick and again, beat the mind 100 times. In other words, the mind does not have permission to do anything and everything it wants. The mind has to be disciplined. My dear mind, please think Krishna consciously. Is this thought you're thinking right now, is it Krishna conscious or is it not Krishna conscious? So in this way, every one of us should become expert psychologists. I don't care if you're an old woman or a little boy. Every one of us, we must be psychologists. We should be carefully observing our own mind. Is my mind Krishna conscious right now or is it not? And if it's not, we got to give it a good slap. Get back on track. You see? Because if the mind is not Krishna conscious, you know what's going to come out of our mouth? Prajalpa. Garbage. This and that, you know. Fault finding. You know, negative stuff will come out. Not Krishna conscious. And then we'll act in so many ways that are not Krishna conscious. If we can just keep the mind on track, keep it fixed in Krishna consciousness, through all times, all places and circumstances, at home, at the temple, when we have programs, at the office, in the commute, out in traffic, in the line at the grocery store, wherever you may be, you know what will be the great advantage of doing that? Do you know what will be the payoff, the reward for doing that? Well, I can tell you, if you don't know. If you have trained your mind very carefully at every step, in every kind of situation, to be Krishna conscious, guess what will happen at the time of death? You're trained up. You'll be cool-headed. You'll be Krishna conscious. The time of death. You see? What is that verse? Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chijantjante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadatat bhavabhavitaha. So you will go back to Godhead. That's the reward for learning how to keep your mind Krishna conscious, always. That's the reward. So you may say, well, I'd rather just let my mind go free, wander here and there. It's so much easier. It's difficult. I know how it is. Just like, let's say I decide, well, I want to learn some new Bhagavad Gita verses. And you sit down, okay, mind, now you're going to memorize this verse. But the mind says, no. I already know enough verses. I don't want to learn anymore. And I could take a nap right now. Why are you trying to make me learn this Bhagavad Gita verse? The mind says, no. I don't want to learn this verse. It's too hard. Sanskrit's not my native language. So many objections the mind will throw out, The mind is a rascal. It says, no, I don't want to be Krishna conscious. Why are you trying to force me? In Texas, in the old days in Texas, the West Texas was a wild, untamed prairie. There were so many wild horses running around. Probably in the outback, maybe you had the same thing here, I don't know. In West Texas. And they were called broncos. And you couldn't get on and ride them. They would just throw you off. They weren't used to having any man sitting on their back. They would throw you off. But the cowboy, they'd go out and they'd lasso one of these things and drag him back to the corral unwillingly. And they would say, okay, we're going to teach this horse how to obey. So the cowboy would get on that horse. The horse would throw him off. The cowboy would get back on. Again and again and again, he'd keep getting back on that horse until the horse finally said, I give up, I'm tired of fighting, I'm just going to surrender. And be a domesticated horse who does what he's told. See, so the mind is a bucking bronco. When you tell the mind to be fixing Krishna consciousness, it goes, buck. No. I don't want to be Krishna conscious. I just want to watch TV. Whatever I want. No restriction. I just want to look at any magazine, go anywhere, eat anything. The mind's like that. It's a rascal. In the beginning. But if you can tame your mind like that horse, that bucking bronco, and make him a good horse, then your mind becomes your best friend, a great asset. Actually, in the days of the Old West, the punishment for being a horse thief was they would hang you. That was because if you steal somebody's horse, you're virtually killing them in the days of the Old West. Because those horses were so valuable once they got trained up. They were so valuable, they would just put a horse thief to death for stealing someone's horse, you see. So a mind which is subdued, which is brought into a disciplined state, that mind is the greatest asset of a devotee. So each and every one of us have a project now, given to us by our spiritual master. And that is, we have to train up our mind. We have wonderful help from, who is that great Acharya who has given us wonderful help in this connection? Does anyone know who is that great Acharya? Govinda Das. You know that song? Bajahu Reimana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanada Vindade Durlabha manava janama satsange tarahae baba sindure. Such a nice song, you see. My dear mind. See, he took the gentle approach. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati took the heavy approach, you know, the stick and the shoe. But Govinda Das, you know, it is stated in Shastra, the Acharya, he has two techniques. He has the thunderbolt, "You rascal, why are you sleeping in class?" You see? The thunderbolt. But then he also, the Acharya also has the soft rose. "Oh, my dear disciple, you are so nice. You're doing such a nice service. I'm so pleased with your wonderful, wonderful service." You see? So the Acharya has two techniques. He has the thunderbolt, "You rascal!" You see? "Oh, thank you very much. You're serving so nicely." So, we also see how Bhaktisiddhanta is, he's giving the thunderbolt method. And now Govindadas, he's giving the soft rose method. "My dear mind, just engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda." Prabhupada gave a very nice purport actually to this bhajan. You may have heard his purport. In the final verse, Govindadas lists the Navavidha Bhakti. Shravana kirtana smarana vandana pada sevana dasade pujana sakhi jana admani vedana govinda dasabilasare. So Prabhupada explains why Govinda Das wrote that verse. Prabhupada had such a deep understanding of the inner heart of the great acharyas. He explains, the mind may object. "Govinda Das, you're taking away all my enjoyment. I found some pleasure in circuit serving wicked and miserly men. You see, at least I was moving up the corporate ladder, you know, whatever. But now you're taking everything away from me. So what will I do?" And then Prabhupada said, "The Govinda Das, the mind may object. You're taking everything away. Now what do you expect me to do? I can't do nothing." So Govinda Das says, "No problem." Shravana kirtana smanana vandana. He gives so many activities. So we have many, many great instructions from our acharyas. Govinda Das, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. We have so many wonderful, wonderful instructions how to train that mind. There's nothing more wonderful. Even one bhajan by Bhaktivinoda, Mana Mandir, the temple of the mind. So you simply have to turn your mind into a temple. That's all. Just like you can purchase an ordinary building. Maybe it was used for some illicit purpose. But by putting pictures of Krishna everywhere, having kirtan, you know, prasad, deity, so many wonderful activities, it completely changes the atmosphere. That building that was material energy is now spiritual energy. So we have to turn the mind into mandir. Mana mandir. Temple of the mind. By always feeding the mind wonderful Krishna conscious thoughts. Weeding out the non-Krishna conscious thoughts and putting in the Krishna conscious thoughts. So, we can ask now if there's, do you have any question? Beware, we have a policy. If you don't ask questions, we go into phase two. Okay.
I was just wondering, Your Grace, that you've traveled a lot the last few months, and you've been observing the preaching of Krishna consciousness in various areas.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, if we are concerned with improving the effectiveness of our preaching,
yeah,
what things have you observed and also in your experience that have been the most potent?
The most potent thing is cooperation. United we stand and divided we fall. The most powerful weapon we have for making this our preaching successful is each other, actually. There's a common word in the corporate world, synergy. And that word all is very, very applicable in this Krishna consciousness movement. By splitting apart and becoming, if we become too individualistic, then we lose the synergy. Of course, at the same time, there is scope for individuality, but it is within the context of cooperative action. It is also stated that proprietorship turns sand into gold. Proprietorship turns sand into gold. Sometimes a devotee, if he can get his have his own project that he can do, his own department or his, you know, something he can develop and use his creative intelligence, and that empowers him and inspires him and enlivens him. So that is also there. But everything is within the umbrella of a cooperation. We're seeing wherever the devotees are cooperating together the most, that's where there's devotees are happy, enlivened, and people are attractive. Because the problem of this material world is nobody can cooperate with each other. Because everybody's selfish. You see? And the whole society is actually falling apart. The world order is descending into chaos. There was a poet named Yeats, an Irish poet, who wrote a very nice poetry. He said, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. That's where our world society is heading now. Slowly, 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 it's dismantling into chaos, anarchy. Because there's no central point. As he noted, the center cannot hold. He didn't know why, but he aptly noted it cannot hold. The center cannot hold. If we need to have a strong central point, and that is God or Krishna, you see. That will hold our ISKCON society together. And as Prabhupada instructed us, we are meant as a society to lead the entire planet out of chaos. So we have to learn how to work together as a team, because we are meant to bring the whole world together as one team. There is full scope for individual creativity. This project, it's like they say, every man, the Pandavas, for every Pandava, a village. Devotees can have a preaching project. That's nice. At the same time, we keep that wonderful cooperation move. We work together. So we're seeing, as traveling throughout the world, wherever there is more togetherness, there is more success, there is more happiness. The more the devotees are together, the more they are Krishna conscious. We cannot be Krishna conscious on our own. We see that people who split off from ISKCON, they lose their Krishna consciousness. It just gradually goes away. If we stick together, this is how we will get Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada said, I am ISKCON. You see? So by sticking together as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the way that Prabhupada set it up, that's how we get Prabhupada's constant association at every moment. We can feel the mercy of Prabhupada coming upon our heads by sticking It's not always easy to do that because we disagree with each other sometimes. Sometimes you have your opinion and I have mine, and they're quite different. And it's difficult for us to work together in those times, you see. But Prabhupada made an interesting point in this connection. He said, one devotee is thinking we should serve Krishna in this way. Another one is thinking we should serve Krishna in that way. He said, therefore, their difference of opinion is spiritual. Because they're both thinking how to serve Krishna. So it's not like, even when there's difference of opinion amongst devotees, we should not feel, we should not be like karmi. We should think, oh, it's nice, he's thinking how to serve Krishna. You see, if you and I disagree how to serve Krishna and we become enemies, then we are like karmi. We're just karmis, really. And then we may dress as devotee with tilak. We become enemies over our disagreement how to serve Krishna, then we are karmis, actually. We're not devotees. A devotee will think, well, I may disagree with you, but it's wonderful, Prabhu, that you want to serve Krishna. All glories to you. You want to spread this movement. You see. So if we're feeling that way about each other, even if we disagree on how we should serve Krishna, then we will always remain one loving family, even if we have different rooms in the house. You see? We'll always feel we're all in one house. We're all brothers and sisters here, all one big happy family. So this is, we're seeing in those parts of the world where this mood is there, it's just amazing. We see such a wonderful cooperative mood in our Bombay temple. And actually we have three different projects in one city. And everyone is, it's just complete love and reciprocation. It's like one project, but at the same time, there's three different projects. And now they're starting a fourth one. Tell me. Huh?
25 bases.
Tell me louder.
25 bases. They have 25 bases.
Yeah. And then they have these small centers too called bases, Bhaktivedanta Academy for Cultural Education. They have around 30 ISKCON centers in one town. 30 of them. And the preaching is huge. I mean, they were taking me out. It was a little austere, you know, Bombay, the traffic. We were going from one center to another, lecture here, lecture there, lecture here, lecture there. And we just did a few of them. We just, you know, we couldn't even go to all the centers, but it was wonderful. They invited us to come for a whole month. So we're thinking, maybe we will go. So much nectar in Bombay.
Apart from cooperation in using that example, did they have any other ingredients there, apart from cooperation?
Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's presence is very, very strong at our Juhu temple. That's the original project. That was Prabhupada's baby, that project. And he babysat that project. Wherever he was going, all over the world, he was always thinking, what's happening in Bombay? I mean, Prabhupada, he states that a tortoise hatches the eggs by meditation. It doesn't sit on them like the bird. But by meditation, the tortoise, from a distance, hatches the egg. So Prabhupada he hatched Bombay by meditation. He was always traveling around the world, but he was always wondering what's going on in Bombay and writing. It was a very intense struggle there. You must have all heard it, you know, the story. Mr. Nair sold us the land and then tried to take it back. And Prabhupada sent the devotees to live on the land because he knew that would establish our ownership. But Mr. Nair sent the police in to dismantle the temple with blowtorches and to drag the devotees to jail. One life member who was very brave, Mr. Shetty, he's from a Kshatriya family. He came out there with a gun and stood against the police to protect that temple. He came and said he had enough bullets to wipe them all out. That he took that bravery, he risked his own life, one of our life members there. So we have such an incredible history of heroism in Bombay. And now they have, they've built a whole new wing now. It's just absolutely a whole marble guest house with huge restaurant area and meeting halls. And it's just amazing, amazing facility. And that Prabhupada's presence is so strongly felt. Prabhupada said, I have three places. He said, Mayapur is my place of worship, Bombay is my office, and Vrindavan is my home. So Prabhupada's presence is very strongly felt there in our ISKCON project in Juhu. And that has spawned an incredible explosion of Krishna consciousness from that Shakti of Prabhupada, our Juhu property. It's all over Bombay. It's just going more and more and more and more. It's all coming out in that Shakti of Prabhupada, Juhu. Every bit of it. Yes. I like your question very much. I very much like your question because that was the question that I had when I was a freshman in college. That was the burning passion of my existence. What is the purpose of existence? That was exactly the question I had as a freshman. And not one of the teachers that I had could answer it. Not one of the great philosophers we studied could answer that question. Nobody could answer that question for me. How do you find out the purpose of life? They said, what do you want to major in? To me, that was irrelevant. First, tell me why I exist. Then ask me what I want to major in. You know? I want to know who I am before you ask me what I want to do for a living. I mean, you know, this is the most important question you have asked. And we are ordered by Vedanta, the Vedanta Sutra, that you must ask this question. Tato brahma jigyasa, now that you've finally come to the human form, you must inquire, what is the absolute truth? What is the purpose of existence? I can tell you this, that if you desire it strongly, I must know what is the purpose of my existence. If that desire becomes the overriding desire of your life, that there's nothing more important, everything else is secondary. If you have a burning passion to find out what is the purpose of your existence, that wonderful Chaitya Guru, the Lord within your heart, he will see your sincerity and he will bring you in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, external guru, who will then tell you. You simply have to have the strong desire, and then Krishna will send a guru to you who will tell you what is the purpose of your existence. That's all. Simply you must desire. Man proposes and God disposes. If your desire is strong, then Krishna will send you Guru, and Guru will tell you the purpose of your existence is to surrender to Krishna, to God. Actually, God is the source of all existence. He is the origin of everything, the fountainhead of all energies. Of all beings is God, Krishna. So, you actually are not that body. You're not a woman. Okay? You're an eternal spiritual being situated in a female body right now. You've had millions of lifetimes. Right now you have a woman's body, but you're actually an eternal living entity. You are an eternal emanation from that original person. He is emanating you for one purpose, and one purpose only. He wants to have a loving relationship with you. He is emanating millions and billions of living entities from himself, that is a fact, but none of them are the same. Are there any two snowflakes that are exactly the same? No, they're not. You can take millions and billions of snowflakes and put them under a microscope and you'll see that each and every one of them is unique. So every single living being, every jiva is completely unique. So you are unique. You are meant to love the Lord in a certain way that nobody else can love Him. So He will never be fully satisfied until you love Him, because nobody else, He wants your specific love that you can give Him. That nobody else can love Him exactly the way that you can. He wants your specific type of love, because and you're the only one who can give it to Him. So you exist to love God in a certain way that only you can do it, because you're different than everybody else. And He is emanating you from Himself with certain qualities, with certain characteristics, to love Him in a certain way that nobody else can do. So do you think you can be happy by doing anything other than loving God? Of course not. Can a fish be happy on the land? No. The fish can only be happy when he is back in the water. So all you have to do is get back in your original natural position of loving God with your every thought, your every word, your every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Your purpose for existence is to be a lover of God. That's why you exist. You have no other reason. Everything else is superfluous. It's secondary. Your prime duty is to love God, nothing else. So now we are requesting that you do that. Try this Krishna consciousness class. Give yourself fully. Try it for 6 months and see the result. Are you chanting Japamala? Yes. Very good. So you continue on. You make this process perfect. Become perfect in your practice of Krishna consciousness. Realize, and then you will fully understand and realize why you exist. When you begin to feel that love of Krishna awakening within your heart, when you begin to become more and more conscious of Krishna within everything, and when you feel your attachment for material sense gratification becoming less and less and less, then you will actually realize what is the purpose of your existence. Any other questions? Everyone is satisfied. Yes.
Your Grace, can you please relate to us any of your experiences with Srila Prabhupada?
Experiences with Prabhupada. Actually, I'm having experience with Prabhupada at this very minute. Prabhupada is here. There are two presences of the spiritual master. He is present in the form of his physical body. Just like he was here up until 1977, and then he departed. That is one form of guru, his vapu, his physical form. But the other form is vani, that is called vibrational presence. That vibrational presence means the instructions, the teachings. So, Srila Prabhupada told us of the two, vani and vapu. Vani, or vibrational presence, is more important. Why? Because you can experience that vibrational presence at every second. 24 hours a day. So since that moment when I accepted Prabhupada, that wonderful, wonderful moment In 1971, when I accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master, I can honestly say that Prabhupada, I've been experiencing Prabhupada at every minute since that day in 1971 when I accepted him as my spiritual master. The spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions, and that disciple who follows his instructions lives with him. They are always together. They are never separated. This is why the disciple always meditates on the orders he received from his spiritual master. Not only does he meditate on them, he worships the orders he has received from his spiritual master. And he considers anything outside the scope of the orders received from his spiritual master to be what? Simply a disturbance. That sort of meditation keeps one in the constant presence of one's Guru Maharaj. So, in this way, we are experiencing Prabhupada right now. Why? Because we are connected with his instructions. Read these books, preach from these books, follow these books. Because we are obeying Srila Prabhupada's instructions, he is present right here in this room, right now. We're experiencing him. His presence is fully manifested. Srila Prabhupada is just as present right now as he was when he stepped off the Jaladutta. He's just as present right now as he was when he incorporated ISKCON in July of 1966 at 26 Second Avenue. He's just as present now as he was when he opened the Vrindavan temple and he offered the first arti to Krishna Balaram. He's just as present. We simply have to study his instructions, meditate on his instructions, and worship his instructions. And we will always feel how his lotus feet are resting upon our heads. Any other question? Yeah.
How would I recognize my spiritual master, or how would I know the right person so that I'm...
How will you know who your spiritual master is? Yes.
How would I recognize?
Huh?
How would I recognize who's your spiritual master?
Yes. Yeah. The Adi Guru is Krishna. That's a given. The original spiritual master is Krishna. And we are duty-bound to surrender to Krishna, as he instructs us in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna also tells us to take Guru. So, when you are serious to surrender to Krishna, Krishna will help you to find out who is your Guru. He wants you. Actually, Krishna has a Guru already for you. He's already planned it out. It's like in India, they have arranged marriages. Is it? Krishna already has your Guru planned out for you. You know, it's already there. Your Guru is already there. You just have to surrender to Krishna and say, okay, Krishna, please send me my Guru. I'm ready to surrender. And then, if you're really sincere to surrender, Krishna will tell you, okay, here he is. You're looking at him right now. You see, Krishna will tell you, this is the one. This is the one you're meant to surrender to. Krishna will answer them. He's there in your heart. He's the Guru within. And he will say, this is my external manifestation now. I'm fully manifest for you in the form of this particular devotee. This is your Guru. Now you should surrender to him. And that's how you'll please me. So you simply have to be sincere in your desire to surrender to Krishna. And he will reveal to you exactly which devotee is your eternal spiritual master. Simple thing. Simply be very sincere to surrender to Krishna, to find your Guru, and he will reveal the spiritual master to you. That's it, all right? So we'll stop here and we thank you very much. Raja Vidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.